morning and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, September 27, 2024. Sudan's military leader talks tough at the UN General Assembly.
We've been seeking a peaceful solution to the situation, and the Jeddah Declaration, dated May 2023, should have been enough to put an end to this war. And yet, regional political players who are in favour of the war have a different take on the situation.
That's Sudan's military leader talking through a translator. And the leader of the paramilitary rapid support forces sends a message to the UN General Assembly.
We have instructed our forces on the ground to make things smooth for the humanitarian convoy without bureaucratic obstacles. We have also suggested the opening of new routes to allow relief aid in.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan's military leader, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, addressed the 79th session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York on Thursday and blamed the paramilitary rapid support forces for starting the conflict in Sudan. He spoke through a translator.
I must also add that double standards and selectiveness are currently prevailing in international affairs. There can be no doubt about it. Sudan is facing very serious challenges. And in fact, a war is being waged. There's a conspiracy. A war is being waged by a group that has rebelled against the state for many years. It's receiving political and logistical support at the local and regional levels. You've all witnessed the crimes, the violations, and the atrocities committed by these rebels, targeting the Sudanese people and the Sudanese state. The war began with an attempt to seize power through force. With time, it's transformed into a total war against the Sudanese state and the Sudanese people. Countless crimes have been committed, ethnic cleansing, forced displacement, and genocide. All of this has been committed by the Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, which should be considered a terrorist group. This militia is continuing to perpetrate crimes, and it is most unfortunate that it is receiving the support of some states in the region. States which are providing funding and mercenaries for their own political and economic benefit in flagrant violation of law and international will.
General Burhan, speaking through a translator, blames some countries he did not mention for supporting RSF and foiling the conflict in Sudan.
We've been seeking a peaceful solution to the situation, and the Jeddah Declaration, dated May 2023, should have been enough to put an end to this war. And yet, regional political players who are in favour of the war have a different take on the situation. This has resulted in the situation we have on our hands today. As a result, and so as to alleviate the suffering of our fellow Sudanese and to facilitate the delivery of humanitarian assistance, we've opened our borders and airports. We've lifted all impediments to this aid being delivered. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the Sudanese government is steadfastly committed to facilitating humanitarian assistance, protecting humanitarian convoys and personnel, as well as medical personnel. We fully uphold international humanitarian law and measures geared towards the protection of civilians. The protection of civilians is our responsibility, especially when women and children are being hit the hardest by violations committed in areas controlled by the militias. Some women and children have even been sold in marketplaces. The humanitarian crisis affecting a large majority of our population owing to the aggression being waged by the Dagalo militia.
The Sudanese military leader says the solution to the Sudanese conflict must come from Sudan.
Hoping to ensure that the conflict will not be resumed and conflicts will end. The path towards an end to this conflict is clear in our view. First and foremost, we need to put an end to the hostilities. The militias must withdraw from all of the areas they currently occupy and from which people have been displaced. They must lay down their weapons so that people can go back to their homes and so that assistance can be delivered. This will also facilitate the reopening of roads, airports, and the resumption of production. Second, this end to hostilities must be accompanied with a comprehensive political process so that we can see through the political transition, avoiding the resumption of war and potential coup d'etats. Mr. President, the Sudanese Armed Forces, the SAF, is one of the state's oldest institutions. It's non-politicized. It's very much in favor of a democratic transition, and it's committed to the right of the Sudanese people to pick its leadership. This is why the SAF is upholding the commitments undertaken as part of the glorious 2019 revolution, so that a consensus government, or an elected government, can accede to power. We will never accept a return to the previous regime, which was rejected by the Sudanese people.
That was the Sudanese military leader, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, speaking through a translator at the 79th session of the UN General Assembly yesterday. The leader of the paramilitary support forces, or RSF General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, also addressed the delegates at the UN General Assembly via Twitter or X.
We have instructed our forces on the ground to make things smooth for the humanitarian convoy without bureaucratic obstacles. We have also suggested the opening of new routes to allow relief aid in, and we have also instructed the reopening of airports in 4 states as a response to emergency.
The RSF leader, who recorded himself and sent it via Twitter, said he is ready to silence the guns.
We reiterate our commitment towards a ceasefire across Sudan and allow a smooth passage of the humanitarian convoys, open safe routes to civilians and humanitarian workers. We are also committed to engage in a serious and comprehensive dialogue that would lead to a comprehensive political settlement that will establish a civilian and democratic government which will lead the country to true peace and democratic transformation.
That was the leader of the paramilitary rapid support forces, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, who recorded himself and sent it via X. His message was targeting the delegates at the UN General Assembly taking place in New York. The United Nations agency that focuses on women's rights and social progress accuses Sudan's warring parties of using sexual violence as a weapon of war. UN Women says gender-based violence has increased more than twofold since the conflict erupted in mid-April 2023. Lisa Schlein has more for VOA from Geneva.
A new report by UN Women has issued what's called a gender alert to highlight the catastrophic impacts of Sudan's conflict on women and girls. The report, which was issued Friday, finds the number of people needing gender-based violence services has doubled since the beginning of the crisis. Most of the victims are women and girls. Hoda Nadu is UN Women Regional Director for East and Southern Africa. Speaking on a video link from South Sudan, she told journalists in Geneva that intense fighting in Khartoum, Darfur, and Kordofan in particular has increased the risks of sexual violence and exploitation that women and girls face. She says nearly 6 million internally displaced women and girls are particularly vulnerable, noting that many cases of abuse go unreported because of the stigma attached. She says sexual violence is being used as a weapon of war by the Rapid Support Forces, Sudanese Armed Forces, and their allied militias.
It is a way of breaking communities. It is a way of, you know, tarnishing, social fabric of a community by targeting the most vulnerable, many of them seeing their loved ones killed in front of their eyes, having seen brutal sexual violence against the children.
The UN report says the conflict is having a horrendous impact on the lives of women and children. It finds most are affected by the acute hunger gripping the country. Many of those living in households headed by women are forced to eat leaves and grass to survive. The report says women and girls are disproportionately affected by the lack of safe and easily accessible water, sanitation, and hygiene. The World Health Organization reports access to healthcare services is another challenge due to insecurity, attacks on medical facilities, and a shortage of medicines and supplies. WHO spokesperson Dr. Margaret Harris says 70 to 80% of hospitals are not functional.
Across Sudan, women are dying from pregnancy or childbirth-related complications, whether or not those pregnancies are a result of gender-based violence, whatever, women are not getting the standard care that saves your life and saves the life of your child during childbirth.
She adds children are not getting vaccinated and are dying from preventable illnesses such as measles. UN Women is calling for urgent action to protect women and girls and provide them with access to food, safe water, and sexual and reproductive health services. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still on health services, we move from Geneva to Yambio, where a group of people living with HIV/AIDS in West State Capital say disclosing their status and taking their antiretroviral drugs kept them alive, healthy, and strong to cater for their families. For VOA News, Mattia Samuel Timoteo reports from the state capital, Yambio.
The United Nations Population Fund says sexually transmitted infectious diseases remain a major concern in South Sudan. Some people living with HIV and AIDS, also common non-locally as Kaza Ango, which in Zande language means disease of the dog, say they are able to live longer because of individual initiatives. Such 8-year-old Aida Peter Cassiano, a resident of Yambio Town who is HIV positive, says she has lived with the virus for 17 years. She says knowing her HIV status helped to protect others from contracting the disease.
Don't be shy to go and test yourself for HIV/AIDS. As I talk, I have a huge farm. I am still giving birth to children who are even negative. There's nothing that the person living without HIV is doing that the one with is not doing. I'm even healthier than those without HIV.
Rebecca Mario, a Yambio resident whose husband was diagnosed with the virus in 2007, says her HIV test result was negative and she still is married and living with her husband.
I decided not to marry another but continued with my husband. We have 11 children together with him. I will always be with him. That is why I'm advising my fellow women whose partners are got with the virus not to be abandoned. You continue to encourage him to take his drugs as instructed.
Rafael Anton Kalembia, another resident of Yambio Town who is HIV positive, says his work at the HIV and AIDS Advocate Nonprofit Star Support Organization has helped create awareness to fight stigma associated with HIV and AIDS. Kerembia says the number of people living with HIV and AIDS in Western Equatorial State is gradually decreasing compared to the previous years.
The number is now decreasing because most of the people, they do awareness at every corner. Most of the community, they are aware about HIV, how to prevent themselves, how to prevent their family, their children who are negative. This is why the HIV rate is increasing.
41-year-old Johnson Siro, a Elia, who tested negative, says he is ready to follow doctor's instruction should he ever get a positive test result.
I know if they found me with HIV AIDS, I will start taking my drug and it will make my body fine. As I'm seeing those people who have HIV AIDS, they are taking their drug very well and their body is fine.
Uweko Christopher, HIV and AIDS and Tuberculosis Program Coordinator in the State Ministry of Health, says interventions from his office and other partners has reduced stigma and discrimination against people living with HIV and AIDS in parts of Western Equatoria State.
So we have treatment being done to the people who are tested positive. The side of men do not access the service. But for women, at least they are coming for the services. That's why many women are delivered free of virus babies. And then we are looking forward to make sure that we achieve the target. Our target is 95%. So we try to make sure that 95% of the population of Western Equatoria is being tested. And we look forward to see that those out of those who are tested positive, 95% of them must be on treatment.
Christopher, however, did not give the HIV rate in the state, but says the whole of South Sudan is at 1.9% of people living with HIV and AIDS. For VOA News, I am Matia Samuel Timatio, reporting from Yambio, Western Equatoria State.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, authorities in Eastern Equatoria State confiscate goods from traders. Find out why after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Government officials in Eastern Equatoria State have warned traders of losing their license if they are caught selling expired goods. This comes after several expired goods were confiscated by authorities from many traders in some parts of the town this week. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from the Eastern Equatoria State capital, Torit.
Officials from the Ministry of Trade, Industry, Commerce and the National Bureau of Standards says they have confiscated 2.5 tons of expired goods sold by traders in Torit, Magui and Nimuli. Louis Lobong-Lojore, governor of Eastern Equatoria State, appeals to government agencies to impose sanctions on traders who continue to sell expired goods.
Because of economic crisis or because of greediness of having to get more wealth at the expenses of the life of the people while you are selling such kind of things. To your own people, to your clients, whom you expect them to be healthy to continue to come and buy your goods. And if you destroy them, who will come and buy your goods? Now, I would like to direct the Ministry of Trade, the National Bureau of Standards, and all the security organs to have a record of this kind of individuals. And I want to say it from now onward, the first time these individuals are given a warning and they are recorded. The second time, they are punished. And the third time, this person, the licenses are withdrawn and should not operate again in Eastern Equatoria.
Stephen Ihudi Oduho, Director General of State Ministry of Trade and Industry, encourages Eastern Equatorial State residents to check the expiry dates of products to avoid possible health problems from old goods.
We have already in the law, in the ministry policy, and also the harmonized tax of the state, expired goods are stipulated there. If you are caught with the expired goods, you penalize. If you are caught with the goods which are underweight, you are penalized. You got with the things without proper standards, you are fine. All the things are stipulated there, and it's been passed by the Equatorial State Legislative Assembly.
Okay, Cecilio Marcello, Executive Director of Commerce and Trade in Eastern Equatorial State, says the agency will make prompt checks to ensure traders selling standard goods to their customers across the state.
Whenever you find that this is expired, please inform. Sometimes Kanjali go expired and you have not reported. It also causes another damage to the businesses. Sometimes you will be asked to pay some fines. They have to know that whatever which is expired in the shop is not required again to be sold to a citizen. And we need to ensure that our communities, our citizens, got a quality food.
Baluku Robert Buhezi sells beverages at shop in Torit. He says many traders face a problem of fluctuating prices for goods. That means some items do not get sold and left to expire in the shops.
Sodas got expired due to price fluctuation. It has been a huge blow to the people or businessmen in Torit. There was nothing to do beside throwing them. And throwing them doesn't bring a profit. These are all losses. And this is due to the price which has hindered every business, especially those who have beverages which get expired in time, like a soda. So you have brought a soda. It has been like 3 months. All of the customers you're having are taking in less quantity, and you brought in huge quantity. So when it comes to that, you'll find that you'll have your sodas until it hits its expiry dates.
South Sudan exports crude oil and gum arabic. The country imports most consumer goods, including many foodstuffs from neighboring countries of Uganda, Kenya, and Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Kaltuma Vanessa reporting from Eastern Equatorial State Capital, Torit.
It's time for us to hear from you, our listeners, on what we should do better, what we are doing better, and how we should improve our reporting. We start with this listener who recorded himself.
Hello, South Sudan in Focus. I am Jacob Diormichuang from Yerole Lake State. I was shocked and saddened to learn the ambush laid on one of the buses belonging to Babeto Coaches Company on Juba Numli Highway. I used the same bus 3 times this year, but the day the attack happened, I was paralyzed when I saw it set on fire. Such attacks are barbaric and cowardice on innocent citizens. If I may ask, does the group who carried out an attack know that the government they are against does not use the road, neither their beloved relatives or family, but they use air? If any of the groups is listening to me now, please I appeal to avoid attacking innocent citizens. My heart goes out to the family of the victims, and may the souls of those who perished in the attack rest in peace.
Maboralat Rengu from Rumbek writes, I strongly condemn the attack on passenger bus on the Nimule-Juba Highway by assailants on Tuesday, 24th of September, 2024. It was a tragic act which left a number of people dead. I am appealing to security apparatus to escort buses on the dangerous route to avoid death of innocent people. May the souls of those who were killed rest in peace. Tok Chun Nyok Chwai from Juba, South Sudan writes, to me, what happened on the Nimule-Juba Highway is not good for South Sudanese citizens. I'm calling on our government of South Sudan to secure the Nimule-Juba Highway. Daniel Ariak Michael in Yei Town writes, hello, South Sudan in Focus. Juba Nimule Highway incident clearly indicates that radical elements are against the human rights and freedom of movement. The innocent civilians ambushed and killed along the Nimule Highway are just nothing but ordinary citizens who have no connection with either side. Stopping people in accessing the road is not the best option. Otherwise, it hinders the lives of those citizens because it is the only road for importing and exporting goods in and out of the country. Therefore, I urge the government of South Sudan to secure the road for safety movement of civilians to run their daily activities. My sincere condolences to the families of the victims who died on the road. Mading Malual Aluang in Juba writes, Nimule Highway is the only major route that brings almost all essential goods and services to Juba, and our government cannot control it. If we are to count the number of lives lost on the Nimule Highway since we got independence, it can be more than what we lost during liberation struggle in road accidents or ambushes. I recommend the government to deploy security forces along the highway, provide logistics to the forces so that they focus in maintaining security than collecting money. And finally, assault on NAS hideouts and use peaceful means to stop bloodshed. Jacob Yorma Chuang from Ural in Lake State writes, when I heard three South Sudanese lawyers took the government to the High Court because of extending the elections to 2016, I laughed not because it is funny, but it's impossibility for them to win the case. The High Court and the government are like daughters and mothers. You cannot separate them. If I were them, I would do that to parliamentarians because those are the people who can vote for extensions even for 50 years. Sabri Isaac Hamis writes, hello John, Tanza and the team. My condolences to the families of the victims and survivors of the Babito coach bus that fell into an ambush between Juba and Nimule. I urge the government to investigate the incident and bring the criminals to book. Joseph Duku from Uganda Refugee Camp writes to ask, when will the elections be held in our country, South Sudan? Because we are tired of staying in refugee camps. Ton Mamor Makweth in Juba writes, I wish one of the leaders of the revitalized peace agreement should come up and address citizens on their situation exacerbated by floods, insecurity, lack of salaries, and how to overcome the sufferings, at least to give hopes to citizens. Peter Gwoch Anyang Majongdul in northern city of Gulu writes, the government of South Sudan needs to escort commercial buses for the safety of all commuters along the Juba-Nimule Road, as it is the only pipeline that the country is depending on. The government should bring to an end such act, because if the road is closed, it is the civilians who will suffer and not the government. If they are hearing me, we need your intervention and deployment of forces. Majongdul writes. Thomas Kuntoch in Fangak Payam, Fangak County, Jonglei State writes, hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. I'm condemning the road ambush between Juba and Nimule by unknown gunmen who killed and abducted innocent civilians. This is a coward act. Why are you targeting civilians instead of soldiers like you? My condolences to the families who lost their loved ones. Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of the management of Voice of America or South Sudan in Focus. Keep your comments coming, and we shall sample your text and voice messages every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. Follow our WhatsApp channel for updates on our latest news. That's all from us this Friday, September 27, 2024. We now leave you with Papa Wemba and the song Mukristo. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Nelson, we wish you a lovely evening and we will leave you in a dancing mood. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. Oh,
I'm not afraid.